Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. Let us give praise to God and thanks to Him joyfully, wherever we are, for Jesus' resurrection and what it means to us. We have never had a situation like today when we couldn't gather together in our sanctuary for our important Easter Sunday worship service. As we see the coronavirus pandemic disrupting our usual daily lives, we realize that the serious situation we now face is not something that we can handle just by turning to our own experience and knowledge. Maybe you also feel, as I do, that there is a big, invisible, but troublesome wall right in front of you at all times. In Psalm 18, verse 29, David writes words of praise and about his trust in God. He declares that God has planned a way for David to leap over the troubles, the wall that he faces. David has put his trust in God's power and ability to help him, no matter what situation he may be in. This morning, let's look together to see how the Apostle Peter handled things when he was suddenly faced with something new. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43, and Peter's sermon to see his words of testimony and his declaration of faith. May we see today even more clearly that God has a plan for us and is working continually in our lives, even when unforeseen troubles and suffering may appear. Now let us bow for prayer before we turn to our scripture. Our merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you that on this Easter day, we can remember what was done for us so many years ago, even though we cannot gather as one congregation. Now, as we turn to your scripture, we ask you, the one who knows our needs, the condition of our hearts, the most, we ask that you would give us your words that we need to hear, whether they be words of encouragement, words of healing, words of comfort, words to strengthen us, words to lead us, or words of salvation. May each one hear your words, your message that they need to take from our message this morning. And may the Holy Spirit be given freedom to work in our hearts and minds during this time, we ask. And may I be faithful to your word, so give me your wisdom and strength to bring the message that you want brought this morning. And help us to put into action in the coming week what we have learned as we serve you. We give you this time now and ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. To understand the background of today's passage, let's see what led up to Peter giving this sermon in chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. In verses 1 to 8 of chapter 10, we see that an angel tells the Italian centurion Cornelius to have Peter come to his house. Cornelius sends two servants and a soldier to Joppa to ask Peter to come to see him, verses 7 to 8. If you look at a map of the Holy Land, you will see that from Caesarea to Joppa is about 48 kilometers going along the coastal roads. So it was not just a short walk, but a journey from one city to the other. At this time, Peter was staying at the house of Simon, a tanner by trade, verse 43. Before the men sent by Cornelius arrive, Peter is up on the roof to pray. He was hungry and, while something was being made to eat, Peter falls into a trance, in verse 10, and he then sees an unusual vision. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, we have the command, "You shall not eat any abomination," in chapter 14, verse 3. In the vision that Peter saw, a sheet appeared lowered by its four corners that held all kinds of four-footed animals together with reptiles and birds, items that were considered unclean and unfit to eat. Verses 11 to 12. For Peter, a Jew, these would be considered taboo to have as food. Then suddenly Peter hears a voice commanding him, saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Verse 13. Peter, a pious Jew, immediately replies, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And this vision was repeated a second and then a third time. Verse 16. When Peter awakens from his trance, he is perplexed by what the vision meant. But then the three men sent by Cornelius arrive. The three men explain why they have come to Peter by saying, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." Verse 22. Peter has the three men stay the night, and the next day they set off together to go to Caesarea, where Cornelius is waiting for them. Verses 23 to 24. When Peter arrives, Cornelius meets him and falls at his knees in worship. Verse 25. Peter makes Cornelius stand up, and Peter says to him, "Stand up, I too am a man." When Peter goes into Cornelius' house, he sees that many people are already there waiting. Verse 27. So in verse 28, Peter begins his sermon or message by saying, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then why you sent for me." Cornelius tells Peter all that happened 4 days earlier when the angel came to him and commanded him to have Peter come to his house. Verses 30 to 32. God heard the prayers of Cornelius, and now, at his urging in verse 33, many people are about to hear Peter's message. We read, "Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." I'd like to read once more the message that Peter gave to the Italian centurion, his family, and the soldiers under his command in verses 34 to 43. "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." But what did the vision that Peter saw on the roof of Simon the Tanner's house mean? The answer is made clear when Peter comes to the Gentile centurion's house, as the angel instructed. Peter's sermon is a three-point message as is often used by those who preach the gospel. The first point in Peter's message is that Jesus, born in Nazareth in human form, was the Messiah, the Christ anointed with God's power and Spirit, verses 37 to 38. The second point is that Jesus, who died on the cross, was raised from the dead on the third day, verses 39 to 41. And the third point is what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, where all those who believed in Christ had their sins forgiven, whether they were Jew, Gentile, or foreigner, verses 42 and 43. Peter speaks about these three points one by one in his gospel proclamation in a way that was easy to understand. And the blessing from God that he includes at the start of his message is one that is said to all those who hear the gospel. We read in verse 35, "But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This declaration was a totally new step for Peter, who was a Jew. Peter had seen an unusual vision in Joppa and had been called to the house of the Italian centurion. And what Peter was shown through all of this new experience was a new emphasis that the gospel was for all people. It is a little bit difficult to understand in the Japanese Bible translation, but the Japanese word tachiagaru, the verb in verses 13, 20, 23, 26, and 41, have the verbs rise or rose in some English translations that have the meaning of the resurrection. In verse 13, we have the command, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Then in verse 20, the Holy Spirit commands Peter by saying, "Rise and go down." Verse 23 tells us that Peter obeyed the Spirit's instructions and he rose and went away with them. In verse 26, Peter tells the centurion to stand up when he falls at Peter's feet in worship. And then in verse 41, during Peter's message, he uses the phrase, "after he rose from the dead." The original language for these has the meaning of resurrection-like action. As part of God's plan of salvation, the pious Jew Peter and the devout man Cornelius, who was a Gentile, were part of something new as the gospel truly was presented as being for all people. Reading verse 2, "who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God." Peter, who had been raised a Jew, broke through the laws of the Old Testament that he had followed, and at the same time, broke through the Jewish stereotype thinking of not dealing with unclean Gentiles. This was truly the start of something new. Christ was Lord for all people, and his victory over death was for Peter, Cornelius' family, all who were gathered to hear Peter, and for people of all races and ethnic groups. A wall regarding Jewish law and Gentiles had been broken down and jumped over in this gospel proclamation by Peter. The serious and worry-filled situation that we now face stands in front of us like a burdensome wall. But if we fear God and are humble before him, desiring to do that which is right, then we can leap over that wall with God's power as one that God has forgiven and accepted into his own. This is the promise God gives us this morning. Jesus Christ won victory over death as part of God's plan of salvation, and he is Lord of all people. Let us spread this good news of God's gospel of peace to others. Shall we pray? If then you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Heavenly Father, we praise your name again this morning, and we thank you for your love for us that sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into our world so that we might be forgiven and rescued from the punishment of death and destruction. We know that all is part of your plan and power. We thank you that you sent Jesus in human form into our world to die on the cross in our place and then to gain victory over death through his resurrection. And we remember that Jesus is Lord of all people as he works through his Spirit to enable people to receive forgiveness for their sin and to be saved from death and destruction. May each of us fear you, respect you, and faithfully heed the teachings of your word. We thank you that by the Jew Peter going to the house of the Gentile centurion and preaching the gospel message to his family and men, a new mission to the Gentiles was started. Father, use each one of us to spread the gospel message to others and to be your witnesses. May we be able to share the power and joy of Christ's resurrection this Easter. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Amen. And now for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.